I think it's important for me to share that I wanted to help empower women to not feel bad ever about wanting to make improvements for themselves, as long as they're doing it for themselves. Because, like I said, I've went down a path of doing this out of insecurity and not feeling good about myself. And it took a long time. It took a long time for me to really even find myself and really love myself.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Attention, attention, attention. You're tuning into the Going North Podcast. And today's special sponsor is the Going North Podcast Advancement Shop, baby. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Because we got some brand new hats now to add to the collection. So that's right, folks. We got some Going North Podcast hats, some Advance Others to Advance Yourself hats, and a few other designs. So head over to the goingnorthpodcast.com shop. Pick up a hat or two. And today on the Highlight Reel Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, my friends. That's right, indeed. You're going to be in for a treat that's good enough to eat five times over, indeed, because we got another best-selling author in the building today, my friends. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. They not only put pen to paper and join the magical business of immortality, but they sold a whole bunch of books. You love to freaking see it, indeed. And not only that, they are a best-selling author, also a TEDx speaker. They got a TEDx talk coming in a couple weeks at the time of this recording, and hopefully it'll be out after this freaking episode goes live, indeed. Not only that, she's also a speaker as well as a wellness advocate and a beauty expert. So hashtag B without the extra E. So let's give it up for Miss SL to the S, the fabulous, sensational Sandra. And you can call her Sandy because her best friends call her Sandy. Lena Silverman. How you doing today, Sandy?
I'm great. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, that's right, indeed. It's great having you, indeed. It's right, indeed. Yes, D. I was like, oh, this topic seems interesting. I like the freaking title of her freaking book. And then did a little homework, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. God dang, I've heard of investing in yourself, but dude. I'm like, damn.
Yeah, it's a lot. I'm not for everyone.
That's right. She says, I'm going to need the finest teacups, y'all. Not everybody's cup of tea. Oh, man. But hey, as with all introductions, they're not allowed to be 500 days long. They're probably only covered, I don't know, metaphorically 500 seconds. So my feeling is sin on how you became the fabulous lady that you are today.
I started this journey when I was 26 years old and had my first procedure at 27. The journey started from a comment that my ex-husband made at the time. He was my boyfriend. He looked at me after dating for a month and said that my body was soft and I needed to go to the gym. So that was the first time in my life that somebody, that I ever felt like there was actually something wrong with me. So subconsciously, I wanted to just look better and better and better. So that's what started the journey. But then over the years, I decided to just do these procedures and beauty treatments for me and not for somebody else and not to do for somebody because of the way that they looked at me. So that took a long time to start loving myself. But in the beginning, it really started because of a comment that was made early on.
Sucks. Well, looking back, it's like, man, that sucks heavy. But hey, at least he said soft and not anything else. Because you, that's the first time. It's like, when you say soft, it's like, well, I mean, soft is great. It's comfortable. Like, which?
It was insulting. So when that happened, that's the first time I felt like, oh, well, there's actually something wrong with me. Because before that, I never really felt like that. But then over the years, I started doing a lot of the beauty treatments, procedures. And I wrote the book because so many people would ask me questions about this procedure, that procedure, because I'd done so many. And then I decided, let me just write the book and also help women read the book where they're thinking, they feel more empowered, where they're not thinking, well, I shouldn't do this because of what society thinks, or I'm embarrassed to tell somebody that I did this procedure. And this way they could feel good about whatever they wanted to do to make themselves feel better, as long as they're doing it for themselves. That's how this whole book started.
Yeah, understandable indeed, because there's like so many darn options out there. Like, like there's like so many things you can freaking do to the body. It's freaking insane. It's like, dude, I thought it was just Botox and like maybe lip injections or facelift. It's like, oh no, you can get your elbows fixed. Like some folks even got height surgery now. I'm like, the heck? I'm like, bruh, freaking cyborgs out here now for some people, which you're obviously not. You're going the simple route. But
yeah,
not so
I don't know about
route.
The height surgery. That's a little aggressive.
It's like, yeah, I'm sure that's going to hurt like hell when you age. It's like, you're going to be like 80 years old if you make it there. It's like, oh God, what was I thinking? So my goodness, started at 26 with the bad insult that kind of, well, I guess it's subconscious still in your mind with all the procedures you've done over the years then, I imagine.
So over the years, I've done a lot. Now, because I've done so much inner work, I don't do these procedures any longer for anybody else or feeling insecure about myself. I do them for me. And I really haven't had any surgeries in a while. So most of the surgeries and procedures that I talk about in the book were in the past. I'll do maintenance at this point because I had a facelift when I was 47. So now I just maintain with filler, a little bit of filler, a little bit of Botox, threads here and there, but it's not a lot and it's not excessive.
Ah, there we go. Not excessive indeed. And if I'm not mistaken, a couple of the procedures for maintenance, that's an annual thing for you, right?
That's a monthly thing.
Oh.
So every month I go to my injector and we look to see, because I don't do a lot. I'll do like a tiny bit just to stay looking natural. So once a month we will evaluate what I need at that moment. It could just be a tiny little bit of lip filler, or it could just be a little bit of lift in the cheek area. Because I don't want to look overdone, and that's why I go more often instead of going like once or twice a year and getting so much. I feel like it's best to look as natural as possible.
Oh, so that's the secret. So it's every month.
Every month.
Yeah, because some folks, it's like, man, it's like, dude, it's like they started one phase and it's like, oh, all right, they went far too down the road. It's like, oh, no, they just had bad timing. Okay, now it all makes sense. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. And if I'm not mistaken, I guess it, because if I'm not mistaken, you had one procedure that went kind of south that led to multiple more,
yes.
Right?
Two procedures. The two procedures that I regret the most, the first one was called a Y-lift. And that procedure was done in New York City by a doctor who created this procedure where you're trying to sculpt the face by adding a lot of filler with a cannula deep into the muscle. And he may have added maybe 20 vials. It was a lot of filler. And it looked amazing the first time. The second time, which was 2 years later when I repeated, he pie-faced me. And when I say pie-faced, my face was so round, I looked like a pie. And it took so long to remove the filler. It may have taken at least a year, if not longer. My face was blown up. And then after that, that's when I decided to get the facelift. And since then, everything has been fine. The second procedure that still to this day I have to correct is liposuction in my knees and liposuction in my stomach. Because the doctor took out so much fat in my knee area, I'm constantly getting knee threads. I'm constantly putting filler back into my knee. And the same, my stomach, I was able to correct with a tummy tuck. So with that procedure, I had to actually get a tummy tuck, a surgery to correct what had happened with the liposuction in the stomach. So it's really important to make sure that you're going to the right doctors and you're not doing liposuction in certain areas, which can cause a lot of skin to sag.
Alrighty, I hear you indeed. Definitely interesting indeed. Like, dude, how's the pain management and the recovery from all this? Because it sounds painful as all get out.
Yeah, the pain is fine For example, my facelift surgery really wasn't painful. The tummy tuck surgery was a little painful, but not that painful. The one that was the most painful was the vagina reconstruction surgery, and that was more medical, not cosmetic. That was a 3-week recovery, and it was awful. So I would say that was the most painful surgery I'd ever experienced. Most of them are fine. They're really not that painful.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. Well, I guess you're not afraid of needles then.
No, absolutely. No, I'm definitely not afraid of needles. I inject myself every day with peptides and vitamins and NAD, so I'm not afraid of needles.
For those interested, shoot, I know, well, last time I ran the stats, I think about 60% of the audience are ladies who listen to the show. And who knows, some of them may be even considering a certain makeover, maybe a certain procedure. So, like, since you're so freaking experienced at this, like, any advice for those who may be thinking about going that route, depending on what type of surgery it is? Because there are like so many things out there, and there's like so many
Yes,
places.
definitely. It depends on their age. So if your listeners are under the age of 40, I would simply start with some Botox, maybe a little bit of filler, and some sort of a skin resurfacing laser that's not intense, like a BBL laser or a Pico laser or even a CO2 laser on a very gentle setting. I would recommend microblading their eyebrows, eyelash extensions, and maybe lip shading, which is a permanent tattoo on the lip. Starting out something super small, not just jumping into some sort of a surgery. If they're over 40, then I would do maybe a more intense CO2 laser instead of on a more gentle setting. The same thing with filler, Botox, maybe threads. Starting off small instead of, like I said, jumping into a facelift that they've never had anything done before, I would start with that, like some things that are just more non-invasive. Just to get the experience of looking a little different, like a little refresh without going into like a scary surgery.
Yeah, I hear you. That's right, indeed. Because if I'm not mistaken, you actually recommend folks, if they're looking to go down the facelift route, to usually get it in their 40s as opposed to
Yes.
waiting in their 50s.
It's really important, I feel, to get the facelift in your 40s because that's the most natural you will ever look. That's the most natural that the surgeon can make you look. And at that point, you really only need a mini facelift as opposed to like a deep plane facelift when you're in your late 50s and 60s. That's the best recommendation I could give for the facelift because from that point forward, because nothing lasts, then you can just maintain the way that I have with some threads, some filler, some Botox, but not a lot, just tweaks here and there. It just makes it more complicated as you get older to get the facelift because you're not going to look as natural as you would when you were younger. And it's harder, to maintain. And as we age, it's also a little bit more difficult with the filler. The threads work as you get older, but sometimes filler as we age doesn't work as well. So I highly recommend a facelift.
That's right, indeed. And the thing is, you have to go back for maintenance in a few years after a facelift, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Nothing lasts. You have to go back for maintenance with everything. Unfortunately, it's not a one-time procedure. Most facelifts should last 10 years, but you still have to do tweaks in between.
All righty, good deal indeed. Because it was just interesting when you hear about certain celebrities. It's like, oh, you went for another facelift. It's like, huh? What? Another one? And it's like, oh, it's nothing lasts forever. It's like,
No, but you just
okay.
have to be really careful. You have to really do your research and read reviews and look at before and after photos and just be really careful in choosing your injector and choosing because really there's so many good lasers out there and fillers are good, but really they're bad injectors. So you just have to be really careful.
So true indeed. That way you don't have to pay extra money and find a different specialist to try to fix the problem that you should never had in the
Right,
first
like
place.
I had to do. Yeah. Definitely.
Oh, yes, maybe. Dude, so my goodness, the good news is you actually still work out on top of all of this. And it's just you trying to rely on freaking procedures and lasers and needles.
Yes.
You actually work out too. So what's the day in the life of Sandy like? What's your morning routine like?
So the morning routine starts with my morning face serums and that sort of thing. And then I go at 2 days a week, I have body work, which is with my, he does connective tissue, works on the fascia. His name is Swami. He comes 2 days a week from 8 to 9. Then every day, except for Sunday, from 9 to 11, I'm at the gym. When I get to the gym, I drink a protein shake, which is 40 grams of protein. And then throughout my workout, I eat 2 protein donuts, and they're 30 grams total. And they're made out of egg white. I do an hour of weightlifting, and then the second hour is all lymphatic work, and that's body lymphatic work as well as face. And that's when I use my red light therapy mask. Then at 11, I usually leave and eat 3 eggs over or sunny side up with potatoes. So then by 12, I've had all of the protein that I need for the day because I'm a vegetarian. So that's 100 grams of protein. Anything after that is just a bonus, like with salad, vegetables, whatever. So then the rest of the day would be working on my book, my new book, doing a podcast or content for Instagram, or I'm doing some type of a beauty treatment, a facial, dermaplane, going to my tailor at some point. And that's why I talked about that in the book as well, making sure it doesn't matter if you're wearing clothes from Zara or H&M as long as they fit properly. So everybody really needs a good tailor. And that's pretty much my day. And then I'll have dinner with friends in the evening. And then the evening routine starts, washing my face, the serums at night, that sort of thing. So I'm pretty consistent every day on my schedule.
Oh, all right. Cool. Any red light therapy at all for nighttime routine?
No, I do the red light therapy during the day. So I have the Omnilux for my face, the neck, and the hands. So I usually do all of that early after the workout.
Okay, interesting indeed. So my goodness, so with all the stuff you have to keep track of and really keeping your metaphorical Statue of David body intact and making sure it stays freaking statuesque, like, my goodness, what was the process like for putting the book together with really just documenting your whole freaking journey and just keeping track of all the stuff you've been doing over the years?
So I realized pretty quickly that I'm not a writer. I wrote the table of contents, and then I wrote the introduction, and then I realized, okay, I'm not a writer. I need help. I had all of the information and the experts, so that's when I met my co-writer, Erica Florentine, who was amazing. She was a New York Times bestselling author, and she was so great. So I was able to dictate to her basically my whole journey and able to bring in the experts. Interviewing the experts, and she was able to help write and put everything together. So it took a minute. It took about, from the time I met her until we finished, it took 6 months. And then from there, we went to beta testing and publishing and editing and that sort of thing. But it took actually 6 months to write the book.
That's sweet. That's what I'm talking about, indeed. Glad you're able to secure a tag team buddy like that, especially Erica herself. She's freaking great.
She's amazing. She's so amazing. And the experts in the book are amazing. Everybody was so nice. And it really helped. It really helps the readers. Everything is explained so well, like step by step. So it helps them envision if they want to get a certain procedure, they know exactly what to expect.
There you go, the procedure playbook. You'll love to see it.
And I also used Instagram in the beginning as well, filming a lot of the procedures so people could use that as, and I talk about that in the book. So the Instagram started out as a point of reference for the book. It's just now, it's kind of shifted because I don't I've already filmed all those procedures and beauty treatments.
That's what I'm talking about, indeed. So with the whole process, you learn that you weren't a writer, but you know how to delegate and find great tag team partners. So is there anything else you learned about yourself through the book writing process?
I've learned that I have a lot more patience than I thought. Because it's time consuming and you have to be patient. And it, but I've learned that I have a lot more patience than I thought.
Good deal. So does that mean we're going to call you Dr. Sandy in a few years?
No. I am working on a second book, though. The second book will be finished by the end of April. The second book's different, though, than the first. A lot different. The content's completely different, but it's going to be fun. It's been really fun to write.
Oh, shoot. Might have to have you back on the show. What's the second book going to be about?
The second book, so I allude in the first book in chapter 9 to my marriage. So my marriage, I'm getting divorced, but we were separated 4 different times. So the second book talks about my marriage, different scenarios with experts as well. More experts that talk about narcissism, as well as my journey as a 53-year-old dating. So my husband and I split up, and 2 weeks later, I started dating. And so it's that whole journey as well. So it's actually right now, at this moment, being written in real time. So I don't have an ending yet.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Do you think you might get more folks willing to share their stories in this book than the first book? Because I remember hearing with the bullshit, the Botox book, that some folks had procedures, but they were like, nope, I'm going to stay anonymous for real and not even be anonymous in a book.
No, and that was the thing. I had friends that I really wanted to be in the book, even anonymously, and they wouldn't. So I feel like a lot of women are embarrassed about the procedures. They're secretive about what the procedures that they get. And that was one of the reasons why I wanted to write the book, so people could see, wow, like, this person had so many procedures. She's not being secretive about it. She's talking to everybody about it. And there's really nothing wrong with it. The second book is definitely really personal in terms of my life, my journey, my marriage. There are parts of it. People are going to read this book and they're going to wonder why I stayed in a situation like this for 27 years. And I know why I stayed. I stayed because I didn't want to break up my family. I did everything I possibly could to save this marriage and not break up the family. And it just didn't work. Like, 4 separations after the 4th, I just couldn't do it anymore. I was like, fine, you're leaving. I'm filing. And that's it. And it was the best decision I made. And I also learned a valuable lesson. I should have left in 2008, and I was going to leave in 2008. My kids were young, and I'm hoping when women read this book, they're going to see that they're not alone and that they shouldn't stay in a marriage just for their kids, because it doesn't work. They should leave when they're ready to leave. And that's the biggest regret that I have in my life, is not leaving in 2008. I would have saved myself a lot of years of heartache and frustration.
Yeah, interesting indeed. Because, yeah, there's like 2 schools of thought on that, really outside looking in anyway. Because the thing is, it's like, yeah, on face value, it's like, yeah, stay for the kids. But on the other hand, it's like, if you leave, it's like, that way the kids don't see a bad marriage between parents. Just bad interactions all around. It's like, oh, shoot. It's like, should I even seek marriage when I become older or whatever? It's like, oh, the way daddy treated mom and mom treated daddy. It's like, oh, toxic. Let me go away. Like, escape. Press the eject button.
That's so funny. Yeah, it was definitely a mistake. But I'm excited for the second book as well, because I feel like it's going to help a lot of women and let them know that they're not alone.
That's what I'm talking about, indeed. I'm talking about, indeed. So, my goodness, here you got a TEDx coming up in a couple weeks. That's what I'm talking about, indeed. Any teasers of what to expect?
Yeah, so the TEDx should be promoted. It's finished. They just went through editing, and it should be released in a few weeks. The TEDx is, I basically talk about A Cure for Body Positivity. And I relate my book to neuroscience. And I also talk about my past a little bit as well. And that should be on the platform in the next few weeks.
There we go. Some body positivity. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Starting that brain, y'all. That's right indeed. Tell yourself something good. Mm-hmm. That's right indeed.
I actually felt smart when I did that for like 15 minutes. I was like, okay, I feel smart today.
Well, I guess in this case, feel smart forever once it goes live. I mean, hey, getting on TEDx. Sure. It's like, hey, ideas worth sharing. Well, that means you have an idea worth sharing. That's right indeed. Don't have to be all beauty. You gotta have brains too. And you got something in that head.
That was good. I really did feel smart for a minute. It was good.
You'll love to see it indeed. That's right indeed. You'll love to friggin' see it. So my goodness, so since you're going on a bit of a tour promoting the work that you're doing, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often when you're doing interviews like this?
I like when they ask me what started the journey and why did I write the book? Because I think it's important. I think it's important for me to share that I wanted to help empower women to not feel bad ever about wanting to make improvements for themselves, as long as they're doing it for themselves. Because like I said, I've, you know, went down a path of doing this out of insecurity and not feeling good about myself. And it took a long time. It took a long time for me to really even find myself and really love myself.
So when was that time where you felt like you're truly doing it for yourself? Because if I'm not mistaken, I guess this is year 26 in the journey, or year 27, if I'm not mistaken.
I was 26 or 27 when I had my first surgery. I would say took a long time, probably like late 40s, 50 even.
Okay. Uh-huh.
But part of that too was I felt like I was imbalanced. Once I really started working out consistently and taking peptides and supplements and getting on the right diet and being consistent with my diet, I started to feel a lot better. And that imbalance from before, I was lethargic, I was tired, I didn't feel good about myself. So I think a big part of me feeling better about myself was actually finding the balance that works for me.
That's right indeed. Good deal indeed. That's right indeed. Because yeah, you're a vegetarian, right?
I am. And it's becoming a vegetarian. I mean, it's not that, or being a vegetarian is not that easy in terms of finding the right food to eat to get enough protein, because I would spend years going to the gym and I wasn't building muscle. And my trainer told me, I've been with this trainer, Vanessa, since 2017, and she kept saying, you're not eating enough protein. I was probably eating or consuming 50 grams a day. And 50 grams a day when you're trying to build muscle for my size, like 125 pounds, isn't enough. So you're in the gym, you're working out, you're putting all this time and effort in, but not building the muscle. So finally, I listened to her and I said, okay, I'm going to find a way to consume 100 grams a day. And it's not that easy when you're a vegetarian, and be consistent. And since I've done that, I've built a lot of muscle and feel so much better. That's why I pretty much eat the same things over and over, because it's easy for me to be able to be consistent.
Yeah, good deal indeed. So do you have cheat days or no?
I'm not that great with my diet in terms of not eating candy. Now, my trainer, she is the most disciplined person I've ever met in my life. She has one cheat meal a week. So this woman eats 5 to 6 times a day and has, and her cheat meal is like an omelet or French fries. So I still eat French fries. I'll still eat candy. I like peanut M&Ms. I count calories. So for me, when I hit the number every day, no matter what, I stop. So for me, that number is 1,200. Sometimes you go over, so I don't deduct for workouts in case I do go over it. But I try to keep it around 1,200 calories a day.
Wow, interesting indeed. All right, so you heard that right, folks. Just mysteriously, just leave trails of Peanut M&Ms just lying around somewhere. That's right, indeed.
It's
That's
true. Eat
right.
what you want as long as you count your calories and you're not gaining weight. It works. It's the best diet out there, honestly. I mean, that's why Weight Watchers is so successful because it's a point system. So, in theory, it's very similar to just counting your calories.
Yep, you're so right. Got a colleague of mine. She was on and off Weight Watchers for years until she figured out, you know what? I quit. I'm in the phase where it's like, all right, I'm tired of sick and tired of being sick and tired. So let's effing do this. And she's been on it ever since, even like pre-COVID. Like she was one of the few folks in my network that actually stayed darn near exactly the same.
Oh, really?
Yeah, all because of Weight Watchers and being serious about it.
Yeah, it works. It does. It's in theory, it's the same concept of counting your calories.
You love to see it, indeed. Love to see it, indeed. Well, but speaking of counting calories, a fun question for you. If your fabulous book, From Bullshit to Botox, A Rebel's Guide to Self-Love and Eternal Youth, if that book were a food, what would it be and why?
If it were food, it were food. Well, I love eggs, so I'm obsessed with eggs. So I eat eggs as much as possible for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. If I could, I would eat breakfast.
Yeah, so that means the book is excellent.
Important.
Yeah.
That was a tough question.
Well, you answered it. Shoot, eggs are great for protein. Folks love eggs. Folks are going crazy now because of the egg prices for a lot of folks. It's like,
That's
dude,
true.
soy.
That's true. It's unfortunate.
Hey. The book is excellent because you're also reading it too, which I appreciate. That's right, indeed. So, how's it like hopping in the studio recording your own book?
That was actually fun. It took me a month because I would just do a few hours a day and then I would have to go back during the session because you're narrating it, so you have to sound like you just can't actually read the book. You have to narrate it with your personality. It took a month, few hours a day, and it was fun. It was a fun studio. It's called House of Hits. They're in Miami. People there were great. It was great energy. I enjoyed it.
There we go. So I'm talking about indeed. I'm talking about indeed. It's always great if folks have fun with their own freaking work. That means they truly freaking enjoy it, especially audiobooks, because I'm pretty sure that probably felt like a workout in the gym within itself. That's right, indeed. Well, we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive, and that is if you're to wake up tomorrow when you were 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
Love yourself and don't do anything for anybody else. Only do things that make yourself happy.
Woohoo! Boom, you heard it, folks. Love yourself, y'all. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. You don't have to find a giant 10-foot tall heart-shaped pillow to do it either, y'all. That's right, indeed. Just love yourself, y'all. That's right, indeed. Look in the mirror and be like, I'm freaking gorgeous and they freaking love me. That's right, indeed. Who are they? It's me today, baby. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Indeed. Well, I know folks need to keep up with you and all that you're doing because you're still just getting started. So for those who need to do just that and cop some copies of your magical books and do all that smooth jazz, what's the best way for folks to do so, Sandy?
The book is on Amazon and Barnes and Noble, so that would be the best way, or the Audible as well. To download or purchase.
Woohoo! Well, you heard that right, folks. Gonna put a link to wonderful goods in the show notes to Sandy's book. Because the good news is, you can get a hardcover, get an ebook, get an audiobook, have Sandy's voice in your brain. So if you enjoyed hearing her today, it's like, hey, you don't stop there, it keeps going. Yes, right indeed, because she read her own book, as we mentioned earlier, as she mentioned earlier. She had fun with it. So that means since she had fun on all the buns, that means it's going to be an enjoyable listen. Indeed, y'all. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Get that Botox brainwashing, maybe, if you will. Or maybe not, because there's more than Botox mentioned in the book. Oh, man. Well, before I jump into another rabbit hole, any parting words before we close up shop?
Thank you, everybody, for listening. And I can be contacted anytime on Instagram by a DM, or I have a website, sandralinasilverman.com. And thank you so much for listening.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in, and if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for three, and be sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.